Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Fred Allen.
Mindy Carson.
Jimmy Durante.
Jose Ferrer.
Portland Hoffa.
Frankie Lane.
Paul Lucas.
Ethel Merman.
Russell Knight. Danny Thomas.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show. Show 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world, brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at the same time as the Sunday feature of Five Show Festival, NBC's star-studded five-night a week program extravaganza. Tonight's Big Show is presenting such top flight stars as Fred Allen, Mindy Carson, Jimmy Durante, Jose Ferrer, Portland Hoffa, Frankie Lane, Ethel Merman, Paul Lucas, Russell Knight, Danny Thomas, and Meredith Wilson. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
This is Radio 1950. The greatest stars of our time on one big program. And the most fabulous part about this, darlings, is that every Sunday we will present other stars of the same magnitude. Pardon me if I sound like a name dropper, but just listen to three or four of the names we've lined up for next week's show. Groucho Marx, Annie Bryce, Jane Powell, and Ezio Pinza. Well, now, don't just sit there with your mouths open, darlings. I know what you're thinking. You think such a radio show every week is impossible. And I'm sure that after you hear our first broadcast, you're going to say that show was impossible. Oh, no, that doesn't sound quite right, does it? But NBC says nothing is impossible. All it takes is courage, vision, and a king-sized bundle of dough. Each week, there will be comedy, drama, music, all performed by the biggest stars we can find. Of course, darlings, now and then a clinker may sneak in, but we're going to try...
Just a minute, just a minute. I heard that last remark, and I resemble it.
Get it, you ready? This is really...
Don't darling me. I heard you call me a clinker.
Now, Jimmy, I did no such thing.
I heard what you said, clinker. S-T-I-N.
No, Jimmy, no. You know I've never accused you of being a clinker. I'm deliriously happy you dropped everything out in Hollywood just to appear on our show.
Oh, I didn't come here just for this. I'm here on a secret mission to the United Nations.
Really?
I've been listening to them UN meetings, and I found out something.
What's that, darling?
You know what I think?
No.
I think Malik and Vyshinsky are communists.
Oh. Jim, USSR?
Of course I'm sure. That's why I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're with us, because when we first decided to do this show, I said it wouldn't be a big show without Jimmy Durante.
You did? Now, that's the kind of a line I can sink my teeth into. Let me read that again. You did?
I certainly did. I insisted you be on the show.
Oh, you had to insist, huh?
No. I even wrote them a letter recommending you. I said, gentlemen, I have known Jimmy Durante for a great many years, and I have always found him to be 5'8" tall.
5'9". I now wear my hair in a nup sweep. Since last I saw you, I grew some.
No, I don't think you are, darling. No, I wouldn't settle for anybody but you, because I've always been your greatest admirer.
Well, that makes it anonymous. Because... because for years I've admired you from afar.
With that nose, darling, how else?
Tallulah, that's a fine how you do. Goodbye.
Oh, no, Jimmy, 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 come back. After all I went through to get you on this program.
You mean it was because of my beauty and charm?
No, darling.
My winning smile?
No, darling.
My swooning voice?
No, darling.
Please, I'm running out of reasons.
Jimmy, I have a date off the show tonight. Would you care to join us? I'll get a girl for you.
Oh, no, not me. I don't go out on blind dates. The other day, a friend of mine gave me the number of a girl he wanted me to know. Blind dates are for me, and when she answered the phone, I gave her my sweetest hello. Snuggling up close to the phone, I says, Durante speaking. How about going out with me tonight? She says, before I go out with you, what do you look like? What a dilemma. Should I tell her the truth and be turned down? Or should I lie and worry about it later? There was no way out, so instead, I braced myself and said, say I wouldn't, say I wouldn't say I was cute. I'm not very tall, but gosh, not at all. It's kind of hard to put it in words. You know, the other night, I made a blind date the same way over the phone. I said, hello. She says, hello, come right over. When I got there, she took one look at my nose and said, you sure must have hurried, you forgot to hang up the phone. Yes, it's kind of hard to put it in words. Say, it's not that I want to be mysterious. Honest, I'm not trying to stall. Believe me, I'm really quite serious. I'm just an in-between rascal, that's all. Well, I know I'm not good-looking, but what's my opinion against thousands of others? Now, I wouldn't say I'm fascinating. Too bad I'm not elucidating. Say, I wouldn't even try when we meet, you know why. Cause it's kind of hard to put it in words. You know, folks, I got a problem in really describing myself, and it's getting pretty serious. Let's analyze the facts. I can safely say I'm as pretty as Van Johnson. I can safely say I'm as pretty as Tyrone Power. I can safely say I'm as pretty as Cary Grant. As long as this show isn't on television, I can safely say anything. I once had a blind date with a beautiful gal, and after that, I met her every night for 3 weeks straight. I was crazy about her, because every time I kissed her, she used to keep her eyes closed. One night she opened her eyes, and what happened? I never saw her again. Say, now I wouldn't say I was a highbrow. My looks raised an eyebrow. Say, I'm not a Shakespeare. It would take me a year. Cause it's kind of hard to put it in words. Yes, sir, it's kind of hard to put it in words.
How you do it, Jimmy. Jimmy, come back here. You're a genius. Hey, Jimmy. You're a genius, Jimmy.
Oh, I wouldn't say genius.
Okay, darling, I won't.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Put up a little fight, can't you?
No time for that, Jimmy. I must now introduce our next guest.
Yep. Wait a minute. You mean somebody else is in this show?
Of course, my sweet.
I thought you said I was the only one.
Oh, no, my darling. We have three exciting stars coming up now. Then Broadway's biggest hit, Call Me Madam. Presented by Leland Haywood, the music by Irving Berlin, book by Howard Lindsay and Russell Krauss, and dances staged by Jerome Robbins. And here are the stars I was telling you about. Ethel Merman, Paul Lucas, and Russell Knight.
Okay, Taloo, I'm going to my dressing room. If you need help, call me. And from the looks of these characters, you'll be needing some pretty soon.
Well, I'm sure I won't need any help here. Because in Call Me Madam, the great Merman is rocking Broadway in her role as Lady Ambassador. She got the job as ambassador because she was Washington's most popular party thrower. Now tell us, Ethel, how you became the hostess with the mostest on the ball.
I was born on 1,000 acres of Oklahoma land. Nothing grew on on the 1,000 acres, for it was gravel and sand. One day, Father started digging in a field, hoping to find some soil. He dug and he dug, and what do you think? Oil, oil, oil. The money rolled in, and I rolled out with a fortune piled so high. Washington was my destination, and now, who am I? I'm the chosen party giver for the White House clientele, and they know that I deliver what it takes to make them gel. And in Washington, I'm known by one and all as the hostess with the mostest on the ball. They would go to Elsa Maxwell when they had an axe to grind. They could always grind their axe well at the party she designed. Now the hatchet grinders all prefer to call on the hostess with the mostest on the ball. I've a great big bar and good caviar, yes, the best that can be found, and a large amount in my bank account when election time comes round. If you're feeling presidential, you can make it, yes, indeed. There are just three things essential. Let me tell you, all you need is an ounce of wisdom and a pound of gold. And the hostess with the mostess on the ball. There'll be no mistakes. I've got what it takes to make friends across the sea. I'll make being smart an important part of my foreign policy. I'll cement our good relations when I give my first affair. There'll be special invitations to the Duke and Duchess there, who's already written, asking them to call. Not the priestess with the leastess, but the hostess with the mostess, with the mostess of the ball.
The country Ethel is ambassador to is Lichtenberg. Now, don't look for it on your map, darlings. It's strictly a musical comedy country, full of politics, peasants, and Paul Lucas.
Welcome to Lichtenberg. I don't think you know much about us, except, of course, our famous Lichtenberg cheese. I know very well you enjoy it, and we would enjoy it too. But we can't afford it, for we must have dollars, and so we send it to you. At the moment, I am not very popular. As finance minister, I had to cancel our annual Lichtenberg fair. I shall absolutely decline to serve in this post again in next week's cabinet. I shall try to be foreign minister. I'm very curious about this new American ambassador, the fabulous Mrs. Sally Adams. What a fantastic country this America. First they create the atom bomb, and then they send a woman as ambassador to Lichtenberg. How they love to play with explosives. But Lichtenberg won't be offended. We'll manage to stay alive. We're not very touchy, this quaint little duchy that somehow seems to survive. Too small to be a city, too big to be a town, too poor to have an army, and too easy to knock down. Too fast to please the old. Too many who have copper pennies. Too few who have gold.
But somehow we manage to pay.
ambassador, Ethel's first official move, naturally, is to offer Lichtenberg the loan of $100 million. Lichtenberg being a musical comedy country, Paul Lucas turns down the loan. But Ethel falls in love with this new type guy, and she doesn't mind dropping a few hints about the way she feels.
Money, 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 money. Can you use any money today? Money, 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 money. Nice new bills that we're giving away. There are photographs on everyone. Lincoln Grant and Washington. Or you might like the ones with Henry Clay. Can you use any money today? 2 million, 4 million, 6 million, 8 million, 10. Take what you want. When it's gone, you can come back again. Bills that haven't been printed yet, you can have them by the fact. Coins that haven't been minted yet, that you never have to give back. Money, 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 money. Young Uncle Sam puts it right on the line. And if we ever run out of checks for him to sign, you can have mine, all of mine. You can have mine. Oh, money, 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 money. Can you use any dollars today? Money, 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 money. We've so much that it gets in our way. In our treasury there's a mighty sum. Millions we've subtracted from the envelopes that hold our take-home pay. Can you use any money today? Home in the States underground, there's a cave full of gold. Back up a truck and we'll fill it with all it can hold. Take 10 million and please don't fuss if you find it can't be spent. You can lend it right back to us and we'll pay you 7%. Money, 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 money. Uncle Sam puts it right on the line. And if that fellow with whiskers ever should decline, you can have mine, all of mine. You can have mine.
Darling, you've heard this before. I skipped a cue. Lichtenberg being a musical comedy country, Paul Lucas turns down the loan. But Ethel falls in love with this new type guy, and she doesn't mind dropping a few hints about the way she feels.
Please let me say from the start, I don't pretend to be smart. I just suggest what I think best. Having your interest at heart, I only want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me.
complicate matters, Ethel's young assistant, played by Russell Knight, falls in love with Princess Maria, daughter of the Grand Duke. Well, Ethel and Russell have rough going in their respective love affairs, so they put their heads together, and they're going to sing about it for you.
I hear singing, and there's no one there. I smell blossoms, and the trees are bare. All day long I seem to walk on air. I wonder why, I wonder why. I keep talking in my sleep at night, and what's more, I've lost my appetite. Stars that used to twinkle in the sky are twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why.
You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising that you feel very strange one night. Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter, because I've been there once or twice. Put your head on my shoulder. You need some who's older, a rub down with a velvet glove. There is nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant ache. You're not sick, you're just in love.
I
you don't need analyzing,
and there's no one there.
So surprising
I
that you feel
blossoms
very strange.
I'm not going to tell you how it all comes out, darlings, because you'll be wanting to see it for yourselves one of these years. But to you, Ethel Merman, Paul Lucas, and Russell Knipe, a million congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, now, Ethel, darling, here you are in another musical hit that's sure to run at least 2 years. How many does that make, Ethel? I'll bet you've been in about 30 musicals that have run at least 2 years.
Well, I don't know the exact number, dear, but I'll look it up in my bank book.
Yes, dear. Oh, and Paul, darling, finding Ethel in a musical, well, that's no novelty. But how did you, a dramatic actor, decide to do a Broadway musical?
Well, Tallulah, it's a long story.
Yeah, well, that's very
you
interesting,
see,
darling.
It was...
Ethel, I suppose you must be bothered by hundreds of friends calling up for tickets for your shows. Of course, I wouldn't dream of bothering you about the two that I've been trying to get.
Man, a man stopped me on the street in Hollywood one day.
Oh, it's no bother at all. I happen to have two tickets with me, but they're way back in the fourth row, and knowing your eyes...
I'll take them off. Oh, by the way, are you still charging the same brokerage fee you charge for Annie Get to Go?
And this man said to me, Paul, how are you? And I said, oh, I cannot complain.
Why, Tallulah, dear, I wouldn't dream of charging you. Now that you've had to become a radio announcer...
And this man says to me, Paul... What are you doing now? And I said, been talking to you. And we both laughed. Except him.
Oh, Ethel, darling, for your information, I will have you know that I just finished a long run in Private Lives. And if you remember also, Miss Merman, you came to see me in that with two tickets I gave you.
Well, I thought someone should show up, dear.
Well, this man and I stood there talking in the street. And I caught a very bad cold.
Ethel, my pet, Private Lives happened to be one of my biggest hits. And there were many others, as you well know, the little foxes, if you please.
I've been in a few myself. There was Girl Crazy.
Dark Victory.
Anything Goes.
Skin of Our Teeth.
Panama Hattie.
Private Life.
Annie, Get Your Gun.
Private Life.
So I went home and took a hot bath. But my cold didn't get better.
Call me Madam.
Pal Joey.
You weren't in Pal Joey.
No, but Jean Kelly, who happens to be one of my very best friends, was in it, and she gave me 2 tickets.
Tickets.
So I finally decided I'd better go and see my doctor.
And besides, Lou, Pal Joey happened to be a musical, something you've never been in, my dear.
Well, of course I haven't, darling. I'm in a legitimate theater. A great dramatic play.
My doctor is a specialist in colds. He has them all the time.
Great play, huh? Rodney, it was beautiful while it lasted. But now we've come to the parting of the ways. We are through. Finished. Fini. Choice of one.
Musical. Indeed. I got rhythm.
And my doctor cured me.
I got rhythm. I got rhythm.
Who can ask for anything more?
Oh, Paul, my dear Paul, I've neglected you, haven't I? Now, what were you saying, dear?
Well, it is a long story, Tallulah. You see a man stopping on the street in Hollywood one day.
Oh, Tallulah, dear, will you excuse me? I have to go to my dressing room and change for my next scene.
Of course, Ethel. Go right ahead. It was so nice talking to you. We always have such stimulating conversation when we get together, don't we, darling?
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And I want you to know, Tallulah, that Paul and I have had such fun working with you, haven't we, Paul?
And this man says to me, Paul.
That it's an honor and a pleasure to be on the same stage with such a gracious and talented artist as you are.
Now, just a minute. What do you mean by that?
Oh, Tallulah, for goodness sake, let's not start that again. Because if you do, I'm liable to haul off and ring your chimes.
If anybody is going to ring my chimes around here, I'm going to ring my chimes. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Show. This is the National Broadcasting Company Sunday Extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. This portion of the program is the Sunday feature of NBC's star-studded five-show festival of comedy, music, drama, and mystery, presented 5 nights a week and brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the makers of Tennyson for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. The big stars in our first program are Fred Allen, Mindy Carson, Jimmy Durante, Jose Ferreira, Portland Hoffa, Frankie Lane, Paul Lucas, Ethel Merman, Russell Knight, Danny Thomas, and Meredith Wilson. And here is your hostess, the glamorous Tallulah Bankhead.
You know, darlings, we have more stars on this show than there are in the Milky Way, from the candy bar of the same name. We have assembled in our show in Radio City Center Theater in New York some of the greatest entertainers of our time. We have such people as...
Just a minute. Hold the show. Stop that dialogue.
James Durante, what's the matter now?
What's the matter, she says. I'm sitting in my dressing room in front of my mirror, plucking my eyebrows, putting on my makeup. Max Factor Ingenue number 2. When I look in the mirror and the fella in the mirror ain't doing the same thing as I'm doing.
Well, who was it?
I don't know, but there he is standing out there now.
Oh, Jimmy, that's Danny Thomas. Danny, darling.
Just a minute, Hugh.
You mean me?
Yeah, you. I want to ask you a question. Answer yes or no. Where did you get that nose?
You the same question. Where did you get your nose?
I had this nose for years.
Well, I've had my nose for years.
Oh, now, please, darling.
Stay out of this, no nose. This is a catastrophe. There's only room on this program for one schnozzola. Either he takes his nose and goes, or I take my nose and goes.
Goodbye, Jimmy, darling.
This is sabotage. Okay, I'm going. And after the show, I'll be waiting outside for you and your nose.
Yeah, what are you going to do about my nose?
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
A whimsical character, isn't he? Another impersonator. I suppose everybody thinks he can do an impression of Jimmy Durante.
Oh, darling, that was.
How do you like the nerve of that guy? He doesn't like my nose. He didn't even give it a chance. I should have said it's a kind of a nose that grows on you. I should have said. Who does he think he is, the Randy?
It was.
Either your nose goes or my nose goes, he says. I should have said, well, you take yours and blow, I should have said. I should have said, now look here, Durante.
That was Durante? In person. Well, why don't you tell me? He's my favorite. I've idolized him ever since I was a kid.
Oh, well, Danny, you can apologize to him later.
Well, I most certainly will apologize. I'll get down on my hands and knees.
But look, Tallulah, I don't want any trouble with anybody. I'm at peace with the world, honest I am. I've been to a psychiatrist. I feel wonderful. As a matter of fact, I have a song on the subject.
Oh, all right, Danny. Will you tell us about it, Danny?
I'd love to tell you about it. There seems to be so much chaos in the world. People hating everybody and everybody in a big hurry to die. I figured that a little philosophy would help. In other words, things aren't so bad that they couldn't be worse, so don't worry, they'll be worse. The title of the song is Take It Easy, Be Casual, Relax. Does this hectic world around you get you down? Are you gloomier than anyone in town? May I, in all humility, suggest a simple cure? And if you care to heed it, you'll be happier, I'm sure. For instance, when you're betting on a horse, you're gonna win, of course. You're already planning on two new Cadillacs. When you lose, make this note just before you cut your throat. Take it easy, be casual, relax. Or when you come home late some night, you don't put out the light as you quietly remove your coat and your slacks. When the lights glare in your eyes and your friends all yell surprise, take it easy, be casual, but pull your pants up. No, I say that because you can be too casual. And if you're too casual, you're liable to become blasé. And if you're blazed, you're not having fun. No, with you, everything is, so what? That's an awful thing. And drive people to suicide, so what? I know a story about a fellow out on the West Coast. Not so long ago, he went to a rancher. And he said to the fellow, sell me a horse. I don't care how much you charge me. I have to have this horse delivered to my house tomorrow. The next day, the horse was delivered. The fellow said to the rancher, bring the horse into the house, take him right into the bathroom, and put him in the bathtub. If the request was silly, but it was complied with. And the rancher said, friend, I've been selling horses for nigh on to 40 years. That's the first one I ever put in the bathtub. What you want that horse in the bathtub for? The fellow said, look, it's my brother-in-law from the East. One of them wise guys, driving me nuts. Nothing impresses this guy. I took him to MGM Studios. I got Clark Gable's autograph for him. I said to him, aren't you excited, Clark Gable? He says, so what? I took him to the Brown Derby, to the Coliseum, to the Rose Bowl. I said, isn't this sensational? He says, so what? Nothing disturbs that guy. Nothing excites him. Everything is, so what? Well, tomorrow morning when he comes running out of the bathroom and he says, hey, there's a horse in the bathtub. I'm going to say, so what? Take it easy. Be calm and be cool. Min, if your wife runs off with all your jack, it could be worse. She might come back. And bring her mother with her. That was cruel. I wish to apologize to all the mothers-in-law present and those who are listening. Not mine, just to those present. I'm not going to tell mother-in-law jokes. I stopped selling those kind of jokes 14 years ago. That's when I got married. Since then, they haven't been so funny. But I read a story in a book on folklore called Mother-in-Law Relativity. That to me is as fine a bit of psychology coupled with humor I've ever read. And you've got to hear it. Two women meet in the street. And after the usual salutations, one woman says, and tell me, darling, how's your daughter? She said, my daughter, thank God. They're lucky. My daughter married a man that's a prince. He don't let her put her hands in cold water. She stays in bed till 12 o'clock noon every day. Shocked by sex like a movie star. And what do you think? Every afternoon, drinks cocktails. My daughter's very lucky. The woman said, that's wonderful. And how's your son? Don't ask. That poor boy. He married one of those fancy schmancy girls, but got to stay in bed till 12 o'clock noon every day.
need a drunk to drink cocktails all the time.
Business takes you far from home, and you call your wife on the phone. Your name is John, and she says, "Hello, Max. Don't be blue or discontent. Maybe Max will split the rent. Take it easy, be casual. If you want to have fun, here's how it's done. Relax."
That was delightful. And what a performance you gave, especially for someone who's just flown in from California. You must be dead tired, darling.
Yes, and I can say in all modesty that everyone thinks I'm a tired comedian.
Not I, darling. No, I told them at NBC when we were planning the show that it couldn't be a big broadcast without Danny Thomas. How can I ever repay you for coming?
With money.
And no schmo he.
I was only joking, Tallulah. Believe me, I'm honored to be listed among the great names on this show. I would have appeared on this song, in this program for a song.
Well, how lucky for me, because I was wondering about how to introduce Mindy Carson. Mindy, darling.
Hello, Tallulah. Hello, Danny.
Mindy, Danny just told me that he would do this show for a song. So it's up to you, darling. How about it?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. I'd like to sing my latest RCA Victor recording. It's called A Rainy Day Refrain. I'm dreaming to the rhythm of the rain. Da-dim, 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 da-dim. I get the sweetest memories from the rhythm of a rainy day refrain. Da-dim, 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 da-dim. I've got that little love song on my brain. Da-dim, 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 da-dim. I guess there's no escaping from the rhythm of a rainy day refrain. The lovely day we met, I still remember well. Who cared if it was wet? 'Cause like the rain we fell. An April afternoon, a rainy day romance. The raindrops played a tune. Our hearts began to dance. That in the room. So in love, I'll always love the rain. Da-dim, 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 da-dim. I get the sweetest memories from the rhythm of a rainy day refrain.
Folks at home, would you please glance over here just a second? What do you see? A small table radio, a console, a radio phonograph? For as low as $12.95, you can add the RCA Victor 45 RPM system of recorded music to your present set, regardless of size, age, or make. Now, at this low price, you needn't be without the music you want when you want it. You've seen the Victrola 45 attachment. It's the automatic changer that plays the amazing 7-inch records. Everyone's going 45. It's all play and no work. Load a stack of your favorites with one hand in one swift motion. Press a button and relax. 45s can play as long as ordinary 12-inch records, and you can store them in a bookshelf. The 45 is yours for only $12.95. So don't put off all that pleasure. See and hear the RCA Victor 45 at your dealers right away.
Just 10 days from now, Broadway will have its first showing of a new movie which has already stirred vast excitement in all who love the tradition of a great performer in a great play. The movie is Stanley Kramer's production of Rostand's immortal comedy, Cyrano. And here in a sneak preview is the distinguished young star of the picture, José Ferrer, as Cyrano de Bergerac. Century France. The place, the Theatre Bourgogne in Paris. Angrily mounted on a chair, just below the footlights, is the heroic figure of Cyrano de Bergerac, who has just stopped the play and ordered the foppish actor Montfleury off the stage. In all France, there is no one to match Cyrano as swordsman, poet, playwright, and wit. And in all France, nay, in all the world, there is no nose to match the size of Cyrano's outlandish nose. Ah, but a member of the audience dares speak.
Monsieur, how dare you interrupt the play? What the scandal to send the great Montfleury scampering from the stage tail between his legs. Did you know the Comte de Guiche is his patron? Who is yours?
No one.
No one? No patron?
I said no.
What? No great lord to cover with his name?
No, I have told you twice. Must I repeat? No, sir. No patron.
And when do you leave Paris?
Sir?
The Comte de Guiche has a long arm.
Mine is longer, by the 3 feet of my sword.
Yes, yes. But your dream of daring...
I do dream of daring.
But
you may go now.
But
you may go. Or tell me... Why are you staring at my nose?
Does
it astonish you?
Oh, your great misunderstanding.
Is it long and soft and dangling like a trunk?
I never said I...
Or crooked like an owl's beak?
Really,
or perhaps a pimple ornaments the end of it?
Oh, no.
Or a fly parading up and down? What is this portent?
Oh, please.
This phenomenon?
I have been careful not to look.
Oh, and why not, if you please?
Oh, why?
It disgusts you, then?
Oh, my dear
Does
sir.
Does its color appear to you unwholesome?
Oh, by no means.
Or its form obscene?
Not in the least.
Then why assume this deprecating manner? Possibly you find it just a trifle large.
Oh, no. Small. Very small. Infinitesimal. Tiny.
What? You accuse me of absurdity. Small my nose? Why, magnificent my nose.
My collar, you're choking.
You pug, you knob, you buttonhead. Know that I glory in this nose of mine, for a great nose indicates a great man. Genial, courteous, intellectual, virile, and courageous. Whilst your face, that blank, inglorious concavity which my right hand finds on top of you, is as devoid of pride, of poetry, of soul, of picturesqueness, of contour, of character, of nose, in short, as that which at the end of that limp spine of yours, my left foot...
Oh, help! Help! Help the guard! Help! Ah, Comte de Guiche, save me!
Presently, this fellow will grow tiresome, eh, Valvaire?
Oh, he blows his big horn.
Huh? Well, don't just stand there, Valvaire. You're the finest swordsman in France. Do something.
Gladly. Monsieur de Bergerac, your nose is... Your nose is rather large.
Rather?
Oh, well.
Is that all?
Well, of course.
Ah, no, young sir, you're too simple. Why, you might have said, oh, a great many things. Mon Dieu, why waste your opportunity? For example, thus. aggressive. I, sir, if that nose were mine, I would have it amputated on the spot. Friendly. How do you drink with such a nose? Descriptive. 'Tis a rock, a crag, a cape. A cape. Say rather a peninsula. Inquisitive. What is that receptacle? A razor case or a portfolio? Kindly. Ah, do you love the little birds so much that when they come and sing to you, you give them this to perch on? Cautious. Take care. A weight like that might make you top-heavy. Eloquent. When it blows, the typhoon howls. Dramatic. When it bleeds... The Red Sea. Simple. When do they unveil the monument? Military. Beware. A secret weapon. Respectful, sir, I recognize in you a man of parts, a man of prominence. Enterprising. What a sign for some perfumer. Practical. Why not a lottery with this as the grand prize? Or literary. Was this the nose that launched 1,000 ships? These, my dear sir, are some of the things you might have said had you some tinge of letters or of wit to color your discourse. But of wit not so, you never had an atom. And of letters, you need but three to write you down. A-S-S.
What?
Ass.
Sir, I warned.
And I, sir, warn you. Moreover, if you had the intention here before these folk to make a jest of me, be sure you would not then articulate the 20th part of half a syllable of the beginning. For I say these things lightly enough myself about myself, but I allow none else to utter them.
Insolent puppy, dolt, bumpkin, fool.
How do you do? And I, Cyrano, Savinia, Hercule de Bergerac.
Vicomte Valverde.
With this as the grand prize. Or literary, was this the nose that launched 1,000 ships? These, my dear sir, are some of the things you might have said had you some tinge of letters or of wit to color your discourse. But of wit not so, you never had an atom. And of letters, you need but three to write you down. A-S-S.
What?
Ass.
Sir, I warned.
And I, sir, warn you. Moreover, if you had the intention here before these folk to make a jest of me, be sure you would not then articulate the 20th part of half a syllable of the beginning. For I say these things lightly enough myself about myself, but I allow none else to utter them.
Insolent puppy, dolt, bumpkin, fool.
How do you do? And I, Cyrano, Savinia, Hercule de Bergerac.
Vicomte Valverde, come.
Such arrogance. This scarecrow who... Look at him. No ribbons, no lace, not even gloves.
True. I carry my adornments only on my soul, decked with deeds instead of ribbons, crowned with a white plume of freedom.
But
I have no gloves. A pity, too. I had one, the last one of an old pair, and lost that. It's very careless of me. Some gentleman offered me an impertinence. I left it in his face.
So be it. Your sword.
My sword. You shall die exquisitely.
Jose, that was a very exciting performance you gave us, Cyrano. And I know when everyone sees you in the picture, they'll be even more thrilled. But I hope Broadway hasn't lost you to the movies entirely, you know, because, well, there are critics who consider you the greatest actor on the American stage today.
Oh, well, now, Tallulah, I wouldn't say the greatest.
Okay, darling, I won't.
Now, wait a minute, Tallulah. Put up a little fight, can't you?
I'd like to meet this gentleman, if I may, Miss Bankhead.
Oh, of course, darling. Jose, this is Meredith Wilson. Meredith, say hello to Jose Ferrer.
Hello, Jose Ferrer.
How do you do?
Why, Mr. Ferrer, I certainly enjoyed that little recitation you just spoke.
Recitation?
Yeah, about the fellow with the big nose. It reminded me of a fellow back home. He had a big nose, too. Named Wally Parker.
A nose named Wally Parker?
Yes. No, his name was Wally Parker. Do you think I meant his nose was named Wally Parker? No, his name was Wally Parker. How do you like that, Miss Bankhead? He thought I meant his nose was named Wally Parker.
And Meredith, dear boy, will you go on with your sordid little story?
Yeah. Well, this all happened back in my hometown, Mason City, Iowa.
Yes, a one-nighter.
Yeah. And one night he was going to propose to his girl, Susie Witherspoon. But on account of his nose, he just couldn't get up the courage to ask her to marry him. Well, she finally married a fella named Ralph Douglas. He's in the feed business. They're very happy.
Tallulah, is this the fellow who made that brilliant music for our,
Yes, yes, darling, it is. But he's written a lot of beautiful songs, too. He has a new one now called The Peony Bush. How about it, Meredith? Will you play it?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Oh, by the way, I just happened to remember. The fellow's name was Ben Parker, not Wally. That makes it even funnier.
Will you play Peony Bush?
Remarkable way to relieve the pain of headaches, neuritis, and neuralgia. The name is Anacin, spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Thousands of men and women first discovered these tablets when they were given an envelope containing Anacin by their own physicians or dentists. Perhaps you yourself at some time have learned about Anacin this way. If so, you know how incredibly fast and effective these tablets are. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. When headache, neuritis, or neuralgia pain strikes, you want relief and you want it fast. So for your own sake, try Anacin. Sold on this money-back guarantee. If the first few tablets don't give satisfaction, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. Ask for Anacin at any drug counter in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets, bottles of 50 and 100.
Fellas, attention, please. I didn't like the way you played that last number. There's going to be a rehearsal of the orchestra right after the show. Didn't like the way the clarinet section sounded at all. I want you five fellas. Five? Should be only four. Let me see now. There's Cousin Ed, Uncle Walter, Uncle Morton, and Gramps. Mm-hmm. Hey, you, the fifth fellow over there. Who are you?
It ain't Wally Parker, kiddies.
Fred Allen!
Here. What are you doing in that orchestra?
Well, NBC... you still being convulsed, too?
Yes.
Well, NBC... NBC has tried me on radio, and they've tried me on television. Now, while they're waiting for a new medium to come along, they're trying me on this special assignment with my clarinet, sort of freelancing.
I see, darling. Now, what special assignment?
Well, first, the announcer, Ed Hurley, he has to ad-lib something about...
This portion of the program is brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by the Whitehall Pharmacal Company, makers of Anacin, Colonel, Spicidol, and other fine drug products.
And then I'm supposed to play... First time you ever had a half a tone chimes in the history. And then I am supposed to say, this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Fred, my darling. Oh. You fool.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nice to have you back on radio. I've missed you.
Oh, so you are the one. According to Hooper, you are the one.
No, darling, we've all missed you. Why don't you come back, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you, darling. I have been dabbling in something which, for the want of a better name, we shall call television.
Please, darling, people are eating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say, you didn't by any chance happen to see me on my first television show, did you?
No, I didn't, Fred.
You weren't home?
Oh, yes, I was home, darling.
Oh, no set, darling?
No guts, darling.
Well, you know television's a new medium, and I have discovered why they call it a medium. Because nothing is well done, or very little.
Darling, I think you're so funny.
So you are the one.
No, Fred. No, seriously speaking, darling.
Well, as if we haven't been. What else?
Well, no. Why did you leave radio?
Well, I'll tell you, Tallulah. They wanted me to do one of those programs where you call up people on the telephone and ask them questions and give them prizes, you see. And that's why I quit and went into television.
Do you mean?
Yes, it was a choice between the medium and the telephone.
Wait for laugh. Oh, excuse me.
Don't read the stuff in parentheses. You skip that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I'm glad I was able to get you back on radio, even if it is only as a guest.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they told me about this big-name broadcast, I told them it wouldn't be a big-name broadcast without you, Fred.
Well, in radio, Fred has been a four-letter word for some time.
I insisted that they put you on this show.
Well, you insisted? You met with some stiff opposition, did you?
Well, I had to go through channels.
Oh, say, I've read about those channels, but I had thought of coming back to radio if I could find a new formula, a format, you know. I did get one idea, and strangely enough, it came from Portland. She seemed to think that if I...
Mr. Allen!
Well... as I stand here and feign surprise, if it isn't Portland now. Portland, Georgia, I had some more here. See, we didn't rehearse the audience. It says applause after this, but you see... This is what's mixing things. Portland, you're just in time. This is Tallulah Bankhead.
Hello, Portland. I'm glad to see you.
How do you do, sir?
I understand that you weren't on the first television show Fred did. Why was that?
But my dress wasn't cut low enough.
Oh. You mean a dress with a V-neck?
A TV neck.
Well, before this conversation gets too fey, Portland, how about telling Tallulah the idea you thought up for a radio show for me?
Oh, I didn't think of it. No. Mama thought of it.
Oh, your mother is writing for radio now? Well, by the way, I was on television the other night, Portland. Did your mother see me?
Oh, she never could.
that your mother thinks that I...
As Mama put it, to the high heaven.
Ad-lib, a stinging retort.
Fred, you're reading the parenthesis.
Oh, the parenthesis. This jumbo type. Oh, yes, well, Portland, enough of Mama as a George G. Nothing. Now, how about this idea of hers for a radio show?
Yes, let's hear the idea.
The idea.
Well, Mama thought first you ought to have an announcer who's big and fat and jolly,
yeah,
and laughs all through the program.
Yucks it up, huh?
And you ought to get an orchestra leader who's tall, good-looking, and eats ham hocks.
Ham hocks? Well, say, Portland, that sounds like
a... And you have a young fellow who sings, and his mother always wants you to pay him more money.
Singer, but Portland, that idea...
And you have a butler who drives your car, which is a broken-down Maxwell.
Maxwell, but...
And you have a quartet that sings your commercial.
Commercial, but...
And for your sponsor, you get a cigarette company.
Cigarette, but...
Show, Mr.
Oh,
Allen.
Really? I can be in it too, huh?
You wear a toupee.
Yeah.
You're always 39 years old.
Uh-huh.
You play a violin, and you do your own laundry.
Yeah.
And you have a washing machine that you rent out to your neighbors.
Say.
And you're very tight, and you keep your money down in a vault.
I'm sort of the pinch penny type, huh?
Yes, and that's a wonderful title. You could call it the Pinch Penny Program.
Well, I don't know, Portland. What's the future in becoming a salesman for Jell-O? I mean, where could you go?
Well, what's the matter? Do you think Mama's idea revolutionary?
Well, it is a little revolting.
What do you think, Miss Bankhead? You haven't had any lines for a whole page.
I was wondering when you'd notice, darling.
Do you think that kind of a program would go anywhere?
Yes, darling, to another network.
Idea right now, Mr. Allen.
No, I don't think I could.
But, Mr. Allen, what have you got to lose?
Face.
An excellent reason for doing it, darling. So on with the Pinch Penny program.
Pinch Penny.
The Pinch Penny program. Ha, 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 ha. 30 minutes of hijinks with your favorite radio comedian, star of stage, screen, and laundry, Pinch Penny. Well, here it is, 7 o'clock, and Pinch Penny isn't here yet. I wonder where he can be.
Say, that always gets me. There's a guy who gets $25,000 a week for doing that program, and you know he's not going to be late. He's probably been standing there since noon with his bare money belt hanging out. Try another opening. Could you scare up another opening?
Okay. Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first show of the new season. And so we give you the star of our show, just back from an extended 3-month, 40-cent tour of Radio City, Pinch Penny.
Hello again. Hello again, this is Pinch Penny. And Don Thomas, you know that's not true. You know I took a cruise to Honolulu. It was a wonderful boat trip.
Really? How did you go, Mr. Penny? First class?
Well, not exactly.
Second class?
Well, no, you see...
Third class?
Well, no, Don Z.
Oh, then you must have gone steerage.
Steerage? Why, Don, how can you say that about me?
It's easy. Didn't you find it pretty crowded down in steerage?
Don, for your information, I'll have you know that I had the whole boat to myself.
What boat was that?
Well, it was one of those little boats that hangs over the side of the big boat.
Oh, so you went stowaway.
Yes, that's the class I was trying to think of. And it's the only way to travel, Don, with the wind and the spray in my hair.
Yeah. Your hair, Mr. Penny?
Well, I had it hanging over the side of the boat. Now, stop that, Don.
Did you like Honolulu?
Oh, it's so colorful there, and I'll never forget the day we docked. All the little native boys standing on the pier, and the people on the boat throwing pennies into the water, and the way those little rascals dive in and fight to get that money.
They go to all that trouble for pennies?
Well, after all, Don, it's not taxable. No inheritance tax or anything. Liquid assets, you know, just as
now,
you pick it out.
Now, Mr. Penny, don't tell me that you...
Now, Don, please, after all, say, where is everybody? Where's Dennis? I want to talk to Dennis about his song for our first show.
Oh, here he is. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Don. Mr. Penny, my mother thinks...
Hello, Dennis.
My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
I said hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Penny. My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
Now, later, kid. Now, look, for your first song this year...
My mother thinks I'm underpaid.
Your mother doesn't know what she's talking about. Now, for your...
Ooh, what you said.
for your first song...
My mother was the brains of the family.
Some brains. Now, look, kid, for your first song...
She was an honor graduate from the University of Southern California.
Come louder.
I say she was an honor graduate from the University
of... Now, cut that out! I pay you ample salary.
You mean sample? My mother says that Bing Crosby makes as high as $50 a week and sometimes $75.
Well, Bing Crosby has a lot of interest. He's in the orange juice business. He owns a baseball club.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He makes movies. He runs a racetrack.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He has four sons.
Where does he find the time?
Yes. Where?
Well, my mother either says I get money or I'll quit.
Well, goodbye, darling. Goodbye, Dennis.
Every time I open my mouth to quit, somebody says goodbye, darling. All right, goodbye. And my mother says she's going to send you back these pennies you sent from Honolulu.
Well. Mr. Penny, you don't mean you doled for pennies with those kids in Honolulu. Well, the water was so delightfully warm, Donsie. And now I am in a spot. What am I going to do about a singer for the program?
Oh, don't worry about that. Singers are a dime a dozen.
They are? Where? Where can you get them for a dime a dozen? Where are singers a dime for a dozen?
There's a bunch of singers in a choral group here. Say, any of you boys want to sing on this program?
I'll sing.
All right, boy. Step over here. What's your name, son?
Frankie Lane.
Frankie. Not a very good stage name, son, if you want to get anywhere, I mean. But we'll change your name later. Sing, Frankie. No, hold it. Hold it just a minute, kid. Come in.
Mr. Penny?
Yes, I'm Mr. Penny.
Mr. Penny, I'm making a survey of all the men in this district. What is your age?
39.
Well, we are making a list of all available men under 40. I am from your local draft board.
Oh. Well, I've been meaning to talk to you guys on the draft board about that. Sing, kid. I had this trouble during the Spanish-American War. You see, Mr. and Joe...
You gave me grief. You gave me blue. But Lord, a man gets awfully lonesome without a woman to love. You gave me tall timber, you made me free as a dove. But Lord, lonesome without a woman to love. You gave me two lips, but no one to thrill them. You gave me two arms, but no one to fill them. And ever since the world began, woman has walked with man. You gave me soft moonlight. You gave me dreams to dream of. But Lord, a man gets awfully lonesome without a woman to love. It's awfully lonesome without a woman to love. Lord, a man is awfully lonesome without a woman to love.
Very good, kid, for a beginner. You can have the job.
Well, how about the money, Mr. Penny?
Money? Well, at a dime a dozen, that would be 1/12 of 10, would be 1/12.
I had an offer to sing on television with Fred Allen, you know.
Oh, please, people are eating, please. But I tell you what I will do. I'll take an option on you and think it over, mull it over a while for 30 days. I'll give you an advance, okay?
Golly, that's fine, Mr. Penny.
How about 5?
That'll be wonderful.
Here you are. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Penny.
So long, kid.
Golly, Indian heads. And they're so bright and shiny.
Where is everybody, Mr. Penny? We got to have a rehearsal of the show.
Well, Portchester should be here any minute with the scripts.
Well, here's Portchester now.
Oh, yes. Hello, Portchester.
Hello, both.
Now, look, darling. I mean, Portchester. Did you finish typing the scripts?
Yes, both, but I had a lot of trouble. It's tough to write on a typewriter with only 5 keys on it.
Only 5 letters on that typewriter?
Well, what's the matter with that? I've done very well with those 5 letters.
So what 5 letters are they, Portchester?
L-S, M-F, and T. Well, it's like sending up smoke signals.
Well, it's a Corona typewriter, isn't it?
Mr. Penny, I think you're the funniest.
So you're the one.
Well, I wish the rest of the cast would get here so we could rehearse.
Well, Mr. Penny, I have the quartet here if you wanted to run over the commercial.
We have no commercial. This is a sustaining program.
But they've already rehearsed it, Mr. Penny, haven't you, fellas?
But, fellas, we don't need a quartet. We have no commercial.
Okay, fellas, let them hear it.
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, we're sustaining NBC. S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, who's sustaining OTV?
But fellas,
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G,
Quiet!
Quiet!
Now look, whap! I haven't got time for that now. I'm waiting for my clarinet teacher. He's supposed to be here. I'm going to call him up and see what's keeping him. Hand me that phone, will you, Portchester?
Here you are, Bo.
Thank you. Hello? Hello, operator? What is the matter with those girls out there?
Mindy, blue eyes is flashing. If they are, Ethel, it's the first time I ever saw them flash. Did he give you a present when he got back from his vacation?
Yeah, he gave me a locket. Ain't it a beauty?
Oh, yeah, an Indian head.
But it's nice, though, isn't it?
Oh, they're a dime a dozen.
Oh, not these. They've gone up. They're 10 for a dime. But instead of bringing me expensive gifts, I sure wish he'd stop making up new rules.
Oh, Mindy, you're always telling me about your troubles. I have troubles, too, but you never ask me how I'm getting along.
All right, Ethel. How are you getting along?
Don't ask.
Hey, how are you getting along with Herman?
Don't ask.
Gee, I thought he was going to take you out Saturday night.
Didn't ask.
Why, I thought he had intentions.
Oh, sure he's got intentions, but he don't want to get married.
Oh, man, you sure got to hand it to him.
Not Herman, he takes it himself.
His name, you know, Harry.
Oh, I could never marry him.
Why not?
Well, we used to ride home on the subway together, and I got off on 34th Street, and he got off on 23rd Street.
So what?
So I realized I could never marry a man below my station.
Say, Ethel, he's flashing again.
Maybe we ought to answer. Hello, hello, yes, hello.
Hey, what's going on out there? I want you to get my clarinet teacher on the phone for me and tell him to come right down here. What? Oh, all right, I'll give you one, too. Gold diggers, copper diggers, Indian heads she wants. Yeah.
I'm back, Mr. Penny. My mother changed my mind.
Oh, she did.
But this is going to be my last season because for next year, my mother's got me a contract with Metro Golden Mayer for $1,000 a week.
$1,000? Oop.
Where? That's right, $1,000 a week.
MGM signed a contract with you?
Ooh, signed.
Now cut that out.
That's no fair. Meredith Harris is here.
Well, it's about time. It's about time you showed up. Where were you?
Now, take it easy, Dad. I'm here, ain't I? Where was you, he asked me.
Where was you? I said, where were you?
Okay, if you're going to get geometrical about it. Well, ain't me dandy. If I'd have known, I'd have brung you an apple.
It's not brung, it's brought.
Ah, tell it to the morons. What goes around here? How about the rehearsal?
You'll have to wait until we get through with my clarinet lesson. Until my teacher comes, I think I'll do a little practicing. Mm-hmm. My teacher will be here any minute. He comes by bus, so it'll take a little while for him to get here. I think I'll get down and have an ice cream soda. I think I'll get down, too. I'll have an ice cream soda with you.
I'm going down, too. I can't stand any more of this.
Well, come with us. You gonna have a soda?
Yeah. I always take one jigger of soda. Gotta leave plenty of room for that good stuff on top.
Cowards! Back again, are you, Fortland? Well, tell me, what did your mother think of the way we took off that Sterling character she originated for radio?
Well, Mr. Allen, she doesn't think it's your type of program.
Oh, really?
She has another fellow in mind for it.
Mr. Livingston, I presume?
She has got a wonderful idea that would just fit you.
Oh, another idea, really?
Uh-huh. She thinks you ought to have a program where you walk down an alley,
yeah,
and you talk to people you meet there,
yeah,
like a southern congressman,
uh-huh,
an old farmer, and an Irishman.
And you tell a lot of old sure file jokes and find myself broadcasting at the same time everybody else is listening to a quiz program someplace. I know what you mean, Paul, and I'm not going through that again. No, sir, I'm not.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is only coincidence that tonight marks the 8th anniversary of the passing of the immortal George M. Cohan. It is a fitting coincidence for us because we all somehow feel the presence, the friendly approval, the exhilaration one always knew when George M. was around. The big show would not be truly big if we did not have something here that was created by the greatest showman of them all. We have his songs, and we're going to sing them now, and we feel you'd like to sing along with us. So on stage, Jimmy, Fred, Danny, Ethel, Frankie, Mindy, everyone, and keep a place for me. Our cue, Meredith. It's time for George M. Cohan to take another bow, leading off with Fred Allen.
H-A-N spells Harrigan. Proud of all the Irish blood that's in me. Divil a man can say a word again me. H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N-U-C. It's a name that a shame never has been connected with. Harrigan, that's me. Frankie, you're next.
Society will always say Marie, but it was Mary, oh, Mary, long before passions came, and there is something there that sounds so square, and it's a grand old name.
Ethel, take it.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee.
encourage me with just a word or two. Do, do, do.
We might get arrested.
You needn't say you love me, for I'm pretty sure you don't. Tell me that you like me, and there's nothing that I won't be glad to do. That, honestly and true, I'd go along for you. I'd do a wrong for you, because I'm awfully strong for you.
I'm strong for you.
You're on, Jimmy.
Now always leave them laughing when you say goodbye. You wear out your welcome if you moan and cry. When you meet a fellow with a tears in eye, you can leave him laughing if you try. Now interrupt a fella with a joke he's never heard. He will laugh and then declare that it's a bird. When he's giggling good, you know, that's the time to turn and go. Always leave him laughing when you say goodbye. Mindy Carson, you're next.
Eef-a-sop-a-doof-a-dop-a sing, babe. Eef-a-sop-a-doof-a-dop-a swing, babe. Gather up the honeydew, the Michigan glide. Dive to the sky, dance to the bride. Eef-a-sop-a-doof-a-dop-a go, babe. Eef-a-sop-a-doof-a-dop-a slow, babe. Gaze into my glimmers when you're ragging with me. And be my eef-a-sop-a-doof-a-dop-a rag, baby. Take it, Tallulah.
Well, I tried to get it all in before the end, before 9 o'clock, but we're going to have to take off right now, make room for Bob Plaster. Next Sunday, 6 o'clock. Until then, Bob Lyons saying thank you very much for listening. Keep the cars and letters coming. We love you very much. Remember, Old Time Radio still lives right here on the Old Time Radio Show. This is KCRW Santa Monica.
Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, a full hour of comedy brought to you every Sunday night here on KCRW. And before we get on with this week's show, there is obviously some old business to take care of, primarily to thank you all for your support during the fun drive at all times, and especially and specifically during this program. The first week was a little scary, but the second week, you guys really came through for me. I listened back to the tape of last week's show, and I especially want to thank those of you who listened, who sat through the whole thing. I think if I'm a bad boy and I go to hell, and I would not be surprised to find that my time there will be spent listening to that tape over and over and over again. But it's over with. It's history. And thank you all for making it such a nice history. Now, to this week's program. If you've looked in your program guide and you're waiting for the show about impressionists, I screwed up. We've covered this before. I did that show last month. And so this month I'm doing the show on one-liners, which was supposed to be last month. I'll try not to do that again. You know, what can I tell you? This program will primarily consist, let's see, the first half will have Henny Youngman and Rodney Dangerfield primarily, and a lot of people find them sort of interchangeable. I think there's a subtle difference in attitude. Henny Youngman is a lot gentler, and of course comes from a slightly earlier time, and that's probably why. But you'll even hear them do the same joke within this half hour on a few occasions, and it's interesting to compare the differences of approach. And some other new people thrown in, and we'll close out with a nice healthy dose of Stephen Wright, who is, I mean, I call him Henny Youngman on Quaaludes. He's sort of spacey one-liners, and that's going to be basically what the hour is. So let's get started with the king of the one-liners, Henny Youngman.
If I had blood, I'd blush. I'm so happy to be here. First of all, I'd like to thank the management here for being so nice to me. It gave me a lovely dressing room, a nail.
Now, when I started in show, I worked only tough places, places like Fonzo's Knuckle Room, Aldo's, formerly Vito's, formerly Nunzio's. Ooh, that was a tough one. Nunzio's tough. I sat down to eat, and a menu that had broken leg of lamb. And Nunzio, he was tough. And then he said to me, kid, you want to go hunting? I said, okay, I'm game. And he shot me. Now, I'll tell you, it's nice here, you know. So different from the places I worked when I was a kid when I started. Now, when I was a kid, I worked places you wouldn't believe, you know. Where? Very inquisitive group here. Tough places. Places like Carmine's Cave, Teresa's Funhouse, Nunzio's, Dancing and Scongeals. What a place that was, Nunzio's. The star of the show was a rabies-infected dog act. What a place, Nunzio's. As you went to this place, you went down two steps, physically and socially. Oh, it was a tough place. I sat down to eat. I looked at my fingerboard. There were three fingers in it. And Nunzio, he was tough. He was... How tough? Well, he was 2 years old. He came here from Italy by himself. Tough. Are you kidding? Nunzio was tough. Are you kidding? Well, Nunzio, he started acupuncture with an ice pick. Well, every night he'd say the same thing to me. Be funny. My people come here to forget their troubles. I mean, how do you make a guy forget he's up for manslaughter? It's rough, you know?
I'm in Las Vegas. The guy says, you see a cop around here? Says, no. He says, stick him up. I said, stick what up? He said, don't fix me up. This is my first job. Holdup man goes in the bank. Give me all your cash. He gives him the cash. He says, look, this is my first holdup. Don't I get a blender? Holdup man says, stick him down. I said, you mean stick him up? He says, no wonder I've made any money. Holdup man walks in the bank. Give me all your cash. He says, here, take the books to him. 10,000 short.
Sometimes I think back of the dumpy hotels I stayed at, too. Said at one hotel after a wake-up call, they missed by a day and a half. What a dumpy hotel that was. They stole my towel. I mean, are you kidding? What a dumb hotel that was. The hotel had a postcard, and the picture of the room wasn't made up.
Had a rough night, folks. There was a girl knocking my hotel room door all night long. Finally, I let her out of the room. I'm stopping at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare near the airport, you know. A lovely room and bath there. It's a little inconvenient. They're in two different buildings. That hotel is elegant. Room service has an unlisted number. My room is so small, the mice are hunchback. I put the key in the door. I broke the window. Two people check into the Watergate Hotel, a honeymoon couple. They get to their suite. The bride is very nervous. What's the matter, darling? Maybe the place is still being bugged. He looks behind the curtain to see. He looks behind the piano. Picks up the carpet. Aha! A disc with four screws. Takes them out, puts them in his pocket. Next morning, the manager knocks on the door. Mr. Leopoldi, did you enjoy the suite? Perfect, he said. Did you like the dinner we sent you and your lovely bride and the champagne? Perfect. How do you like the Watergate Hotel nowadays? He says, this is the best service I have ever had. Why do you keep asking me questions? He says, a couple of lawyers complained a chandelier fell on them.
What about my wife? My wife is so fat! My wife is so fat! She's real fat!
This sort of a double celebration, ladies and gentlemen. While I'm making this album, I want you to know, this week, you're looking at a guy who's been married for 49 years to the same woman. This week, 49 years. Where have I failed? in love with one woman 49 years. My wife finds out, she'd kill me. People ask, how did it last so long? Here's the secret. My wife and I go to a lovely restaurant like this twice a week. Little candlelight, a little wine. She goes Tuesdays, I go Fridays. I said, where do you want to go for your anniversary? She said, I want to go somewhere I've never been before. I said, try the kitchen.
My wife, when we got married, she told me I was one in a million. I found out she was right. I mean, my wife, there's always something. When I bought a used car, I found her dressed in the back seat. Are you kidding? I know my wife cheats on me. Every time I come home, the parrot says, quick, out the window. You kidding? What did I tell you? Hey, all right, okay, baby, all right, okay.
She lost all the credit cards. I'm not going to report it. Why should I? One of the founders spends less than she does.